Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. It's a powerful little segment of a gospel in its own right, but I think it's important for us to see this as the continuation of the gospel passage that we heard last weekend, where Jesus is saying, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Okay, so this is something of a vine and branches discourse, and runs in many ways parallel to, you know, the Good Shepherd discourse, the Bread of Life discourse. This one's a bit quicker, but Jesus wants to dig right in on the point that he's already made. I think it's significant for us to say, to at least be able to borrow from last week, the vine and branches, to see what Jesus is doing there in the midst of his apostles, and in fact with them and through them, that he is bringing life to this new Israel movement. Okay, the movement that was always meant to bring God's blessing to every corner of creation, the movement that was in fact supposed to bring restoration to every corner of God's wounded world. This is what Jesus is doing with his apostles here in the upper room in what we call his farewell discourse. When we see this little clip as the vine and branches discourse, say last week and this week included, then it's not a surprise to us to see at the conclusion of our gospel passage today things that we have to hold on to, right? Things that we have to hold on to. And I think as a matter of first importance is this little piece. Jesus says to his apostles, "It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain." Why are we here? Okay, I know, yeah, you ask. woke up this morning asking that question. Why am I here? Why am I here, God? Yeah, okay, so why are we here? I think very often in the kind of consumer marketplace that is, say, American ideas and practices and the rest, we might think that we are adherents of a particular religion because we chose it. It suits us, or it suited us. I think that marketplace has on offer any number of, say, opportunities from this religion or this philosophy and that philosophy. The tough thing is, if we were to find ourselves truly in a place where we were not only, say, picking one off the shelf or picking bits and pieces of ones that we liked off the shelf, all that we would be doing is we would be finding ourselves caught up in an exercise of self-affirmation. Have you ever thought about that? If we truly were to choose our own quote-unquote religious practices or philosophies of life or whatever, we would simply be affirming where we already are. Okay, and yeah, that one speaks to me. That one speaks to me. Is there any room in our lives for things that don't, at least yet, speak to us? You know, is there any room in our life for a bit of challenge? Is there any room in our life for growth? The beauty of the passage and the way that it concludes with Jesus' assertion that it's not we who have chosen him, but he who has chosen us, means that, you know what? It's all on him, okay? It's all on him. So I always find this part of, say, my spiritual journey to be befuddling. Yeah, is like my capacity to fall and to fail with like real significance. You know, like, where did that one come from? You know, like, how did I muster that, you know, that massive amount of betrayal for Jesus, right? How did I fail? How did I fall so far short on that? It's befuddling, right? We might say it's the mysterium iniquitatis, right? This is the mystery of evil, the mystery of wickedness. We don't understand it. And if it were us who chose Jesus, in the face of the mystery of evil, we would all just melt into a puddle, or worse, right? We'd go up in a ball of flame or something like that. We wouldn't have anything to do. We'd have to walk away. We wouldn't be able to deal with our own lack of love and loyalty. And yet, knowing that it is Jesus who chose us, even in the midst of our failures, even in the midst of our falling far short of the target, we can have confidence in Jesus because he chose us. And I would allow that to be one of the great mysteries of all creation and redemption. One of the great mysteries of Christianity is how I am a Christian, okay? And not just me, okay? You as well, okay? Yeah, I can see it in some of the, like, yeah, how did that guy get up there? Yeah, that's true. How did you get where you are, right? This is the challenge. It's only by the gracious call of Christ, the unmerited call to respond to his giving of himself totally in love, that we find ourselves here struggling and striving to make the same the very foundation of our lives, to return the love with which he has loved us. Okay, so I think that's a matter of first significance. It also allows us to say, as I said, that our religion, as it were, in air quotes, our religion doesn't always suit us. Good, I like that silence. Yeah. It doesn't always suit us, okay? It is ours, though. Okay, so we say, I don't want to remember the, okay, fine. The poem of John Henry Newman, firmly I believe and truly, God is three and God is one, and I next acknowledge duly manhood taken by the Son, and I trust and hope most fully in that manhood crucified, and I love supremely, solely, Christ who for my sins has died, and I hold in veneration for the love of him alone, Holy Church as his creation, and her teachings as his own. Yeah, this is the faith that we live, okay? The faith, perhaps not that we want, but the faith that we need. And what is the need? What is the driving force of our faith? It's charity. It's love, okay? Now, we could drive around and see some love is love, little signs and placards. Okay, fine, yeah. Love is love. That's a tautology, right? Just as hate is hate and love is love and whatever is whatever, okay? Yeah, it doesn't really say much of anything. Charity needs shape, right? It needs form. It has particular contours. And what do we see of Christian charity? What do we know of Christian charity? We receive it totally from this passage, right? We are to love one another as Jesus has loved us. Okay? Now, this is always, I think, Every third year, we have this particular passage in the cycle of readings. I think it's a good bellwether for us. It's a good check on where we are. Am I loving with the strength and the power with which Jesus loves me? So am I loving to the end, both all the way through, right, with everything I've got, but also to the end, to the death? Do I allow anything to conquer the power of love that is at work in me and working through me, that Jesus is here and now breathing into me. And as we celebrate with our first Holy Communion this year, that he is feeding us on. His own life of love made flesh for us is what our food is. It's our sustenance. It's our strength. And it's ours then to bear the fruit of that same charity. Okay, so we have here, you know, in the passage, we've got the vine and branches mission, and we've got the how of the mission, right? Not just the what of the mission, like what it is, but how it is we go about accomplishing it. We go about accomplishing the mission of Jesus by loving well, having received the love with which Jesus loves us. We have also, it's great to have the lectionary line up this way. In our first reading, we get a look at Cornelius entering the church, and then the Gentiles receiving the Holy Spirit, and then being baptized. What we see, what is the defining characteristic of that small group of people gathered by the Lord, is that they glorify God. There are people that God has called to himself in order to glorify him. So that's our first reading. And in the passage, in the gospel passage, we see the defining characteristic of the people of God, the movement of the new Israel, what is to be the restoring force in the world. Their defining characteristic is that they love one another as Jesus has loved them. I have a question in my head. Yes, so loving one another as Jesus has loved them. One question is this. I've already asked it. Do you love others? And do you love people or the family of the faith? That's us. That's like an exclusive thing, us, here in this room, here in this church. Do you love others with the love that Jesus has for you? But there's also a good question here. Do you feel loved? Do you know you are loved by the people here? Okay, there's always room to grow. There's always room to grow. And I think we have to do much better. Yeah, I think we can. How can I stand up here and say that? That we have to do much better? Because I know Jesus' love. I know Jesus' love. Right? Self-giving to the end. Sacrificial. You know, no obstacles. The rest, no limits. Are we embodying that love for each other? Now, the significance of embodying that love for each other is that that's the fuel of the mission for the restoration of the world. If we can't embody that love for each other, we're not going to see the renewal of the world. But if we can, then we will. Okay, now let me just say, I'm going to say one kind of practical or say note of application here, and then I'm out of here. Okay, so yeah, I have to say, I'm going to give you a bit of hope, and then just a little bit, okay, a little bit more. The first reading and the gospel, we have two sides of one coin, Christian living and mission. Okay, so in the Acts of the Apostles, we see the people giving themselves to God in praise. They're glorifying God with everything they've got. So as we go about our lives, receiving the Spirit as they do, it's ours to glorify God. So what I want you to do both now in, say, relative silence in this place dedicated to prayer, and then also as you go about your day, I want you to ask God, what can I do here? What should I do to give you glory? What here and now best glorifies you, God? And two things. One, we should expect an answer. He will show us. He will reveal himself, his will to us. And two, he will give us the strength to do what best glorifies him. Okay, so we can ask that question. That's a prayer. We're going to go about our day praying this way. We're going to think about it now. We're going to think about the relationships that we have, that we find ourselves in, you know, the endeavors and activities and the rest, all the things that take up our time and energy and the rest. Okay, how can I best glorify you, God? I know that you've called me to yourself to glorify you. How can I best glorify you? Okay, then the other side of the coin. What can I do, Lord, to embody your love here? What is the most loving thing I can do? Again, both here and now, considering all the things that I'm going to be caught up in the rest of my day and the week, but also as we go, when we find ourselves in challenges and difficult situations, even when we find ourselves in relative comfort and joy and pleasantness and the rest, God, how can I bring your love to life here? What is the most loving thing I can do? And we'll find that if we are then giving ourselves over to wholehearted and even whole-bodied praise of God, if we're pouring ourselves out in his service, then we will find Jesus' promises coming true in perhaps ways that we wouldn't even have expected. Two ways, okay? One, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Okay? Two, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. He will give you. Okay? We're people of prayer. We're people of praise. We're people of love. And when we commit ourselves to that, and when we give ourselves over to God for His purposes, then we will bear the fruit of the kingdom, because His own life of love will be at work in us and working through us.